Hey everybody, this is Mark Sadowski with The Tiny Shutter. I just want to apologize for episode 54. I prematurely uploaded it without doing the necessary edits to it. So here you go. Here is the download one more time, fully edited for the most part. Anyway, enjoy.
Send your photo apps down, iPhone photographers. It's time for Tiny Shutter Podcast with your hosts, Keith Tharp, Mark Sadowski, and Matt Hoffman. Suck it, Android.
And yet another week goes by, and I do not change the intro title at all.
I'm shocked.
Shocked and appalled. Anyway, this is the Tiny Shutter Podcast where we talk about iPhone photography. I am Mark Sadowski.
I am Matt Hoffman.
And I'm Joseph Ferrer.
Hooray! And I am so glad that I'm getting my voice back, finally. I'm only coughing up one lung now.
That's a start. It's good.
Yeah, I'm feeling better about that. And I think I coughed up a gallbladder, but you don't need that, right? That's like one of those optional organs.
Yeah, they take them out. There's a few of those you could cough up.
Yeah, that's what
I thought. It's an easy way to lose weight.
Right? That's how I thought of it. Just get rid of all the unwanted organs. Like, over the winter, I got rid of my appendix. That was nice of my body to do.
The easiest way to lose weight is, like, either dysentery or just, you know, losing a leg or an arm or maybe from the neck down.
Yeah, I kind of don't want to go that far. I wasn't exactly looking forward to losing weight anyway. Let's just talk about some photography. How about that?
Sounds good.
Anyway, let's do some news. And if I could find my little news button, here we go.
News team, assemble!
The only thing we have this week is an interesting article that was brought to you by iMore. And it is the iPhone 5 versus the HTC One camera shootout. And in this article, it pretty much gives like a side-by-side comparison of photos, one by the iPhone 5 and one by the HTC One, accordingly. And it did a whole various amount of photo types. And you could check it out yourself if you go to iMore, and you could also check it out in the show notes. But essentially, the iPhone 5 pretty much beats the HTC One in everything except for the low-light photography. In that case, the HTC One kills the iPhone 5. So did you guys get a chance to look at this?
I did.
All right, Matt, let's start with you. What did you think of this?
Well, to be honest with you, I was pretty pleased with the with the results of that little comparison.
Considering you just got the 5.
Yeah. However, while I wasn't wowed by the low light pictures from the HTC One, there's no denying that they are about a billion times better than what you could do with the iPhone.
Yeah. How about you, Joe?
I did notice that, you know, in all honesties, there is some more to desire about the iPhone. I imagine HTC is not going to let their, you know, camera stay the way it is. And I would really love to try to see how the images would look inside like Snapseed, how much information is actually there behind the scenes that can be brought out too.
Oh, that's a good point.
Because I know that whenever I take an image in either low light or it's a little overexposed or whatever, you know, I can bring out some detail in the images. I just wonder what the quality is, you know, behind the scenes.
Right.
We do have a follower. And let me get it right. I think he actually has the HTC One and is posting those images on Instagram.
Ooh.
Let's see. Let me get it right. I wish I had looked them up before. Let's see.
I need a soundbite for dead air.
Dead air. Pregnant pause. And I got it right. Almost.
So while you're looking through it, I'm looking through the photos, and in a number of cases, I'd like to know if the iPhone 5 had the HDR function turned on, because in some of the cases, it seems kind of weird that the iPhone would get a certain kind of shot and the HTC didn't. Like the one, if you scroll down, it's just right underneath the pile of rocks. It looks like a lighthouse photo, and that one looks like it was done using either the HDR or the focal point was the sky.
Yeah, and you know, it's funny that I would imagine they would have used the same point of reference with both cameras.
You'd think so, but it just looks like in this particular case, that's not the case. Because yeah. I'm when you look at the iPhone, it looks like it's clearly focusing in on the sky, and everything else kind of goes underexposed. Whereas the HTC One looks like it was focusing in on the lighthouse, and then the sky becomes overexposed. And I'm very curious to see if this was the case, because in that case, that's not a fair comparison.
Right. The follower is Techie for Christ. It's Imrod. He started posting. I think he has at least 9 or 10 images from the HTC One. And the one thing I did notice,
he has some good photos.
Yes, and besides his good photos, the one thing I did notice is it seems to be that there's more of a depth of a narrower depth of field than what the iPhone does. And I was like, ooh, that looks good.
Mm-hmm.
And it could be because does the HTC One have a larger aperture than the iPhone does?
Yes.
Okay.
I believe it's a solid 2.
Yes. That's what I think I saw. And so I noticed that, you know, you can get a shallow depth of field when you get up for a semi macro shot. And, you know, it'll on an iPhone. But this one, it just seemed to be more easily available, I think, without trying with the HTC One. So I'm curious. You know, I would almost try to do a comparison myself. But I thought it was pretty interesting.
Gosh, if only we had a phone to be able to do this with.
Yeah. Maybe is it Rod M or Techie for Christ can do some comparisons, because he had the iPhone 5, I believe, also.
Right. So yeah, we should see if he should do the comparison. So what was his username again?
Techie for Christ.
Techie for Christ.
Number 4.
If you're listening, then let us know if you have access to an iPhone 5, and see if we could do our own comparison.
There you go.
You know, the other thing we can ask, see if Keith can borrow his son-in-law's
stepson.
Jesus.
Slight difference.
I'm saying that because he said those are his exact words in his text message.
So no. His text message said stepson.
Did it?
Yeah.
Where am I? Oh, hang on.
You're gonna look.
I'm looking.
Oh, this is classic.
Oh yeah, stepkid. All right, I'm the dork. I'm the dork.
Believe me, I get that dyslexic moment going. Too.
Been a rough week. I've been sick, guys. The hallucinations were not good.
Yeah, we need to get two comparisons going. See what we come up with, because, you know, this article is great, but it is only a one person review. So,
and I don't think the person was a real photographer anyway.
Yeah, I would have gone into depth into, you know, taking it into apps and being able to see what you can pull out of it.
Well, let's not go too far. It is an Android.
Yeah. So, I mean, any and any image can and the nice thing too is that, you know, if you use Snapseed, it's available for both platforms. It's not like you're mismatching the editing tools.
Right.
As long as you can do everything the same, you know, Snapseed and then Instagram, and then see how they look with both of them, and I think you can get a good comparison.
Yeah, and when the person went to Panoramics, I don't know. It seems like the shots for the iPhone 5 are lined up way too perfectly. Like this was something that was planned, like the one with the park bench right in the middle and the two lampposts on either side.
Yeah,
it seems that there was some thought put into that one. And then when you go to the HTC One, it's kind of like, bleh.
There's a different crop factor between, and it might be. It might be because of the camera. He could be standing in the exact same spot, because I did notice that the if you look at.
Yes, but hang on. When I look, okay. I thought that too. But in every single shot that is taken between the iPhone 5 and the HTC One, mm-hmm. the iPhone 5 shots are closer. The HTC One shots are further away.
Yeah.
So but look this at shouldn't the different- be the problem.
Look at the different crop factors between the images of the iPhone 5 versus the HTC One, and then put that into also, you can configure that the same with the panoramic.
I still think they're half-assed.
That's true.
Matt, you're pretty awesome with panoramics. What do you think?
Well, I don't know. I don't have that page in front of me.
It's at the very bottom.
There we go. I don't know. I did think the iPhone panos looked very perfect.
Yeah.
Especially the second one.
Yes.
Yes.
Well, really on both of them, the horizon is so ridiculously straight. And I don't know. I guess I would feel more qualified to have an opinion about this if I actually used the built-in pano feature.
Yeah.
But I never have, so I don't know if it really gives these results or not. Like, I created a pano today on my iPhone, but I still take each shot manually and then stitch it with auto pano.
Yeah.
And a lot of that has to do with the fact that 99% of the time I shoot HDRs.
Right.
Which is... Okay. That's just really what I prefer to do, and that's just not something you could do with the built-in pano feature.
Like, all right, here's the thing. I'm looking at the photo above, like one of the first shot. No, wait a minute, hang on, where am I? I'm looking at one of the first ocean shots, and this is just a regular comparing. It's the photo I'm talking about is right up above the capturing motion iPhone 5 versus HTC One. So you have the ocean shots, which they're almost identical. There's a slightly warmer tone to the HTC One, right? Mm-hmm. Now, I bring that up because when you go back down to the panoramics look underexposed. They're not producing the same kind of image result. So
for the HTC One,
yeah,
I don't know, they're still warmer. You can still see the yellowish tint in the clouds and whatnot.
Yeah,
it just seems so underexposed.
So you're saying there might be somewhat of conspiracy here. So
I don't think it's a conspiracy. I just think I don't think that they were properly done. Like, I don't think this is a true example. Now, don't get me wrong. I love the fact that the iPhone 5 can go toe-to-toe with this thing because it makes me – because I'm not switching anytime soon. And, well, then again, I don't have the iPhone 5 either. But I mean, but when push comes to shove, I do love the look of the HTC One. But I don't think I'm leaving the iPhone 5 ecosystem anytime soon.
Right.
So on the one hand, it makes me feel good that the iPhone 5, the iPhone camera still can pull its weight. But at the same time, I want it to be a fair fight. And I don't think the person who is doing this, who's the person?
Allison
Kazmuka. Yeah. I'm sorry if I butchered that last name. But nothing in there suggests that there, I mean, granted, you don't have to be a professional photographer, but I mean, I don't think that, I don't think this is a fair comparison.
And like I said too, you know, most people are not going to edit their images. So it may be a good comparison for those that shoot straight out of the camera and that's it.
Right.
You know, for us, we're going to manipulate and bring it closer to maybe reality as much as possible, which would take some manipulation. But for a lot of people, they just shoot and then they post, shoot and post, shoot and post, or shoot and save. You know,
yeah, that's you're right there. That is a fair assessment. So the iPhone 5 does more.
It's more user friendly, it seems like, or image friendly for the non photographer.
What do you think, Matt? Final thoughts?
Well, yeah,
we spent way too much on this, and I apologize, but it's final thoughts, and we'll move on.
Yeah, I'm iPhone all the way.
Good enough. All right, so moving on. So one of the things that I don't think we do enough of is to talk about the kind of photography we're doing on a regular basis with the iPhone. And I just wanted to throw it out to you guys to see what you guys are photographing because, you know, we get so caught up in, like, you know, the apps we're using, the process and everything. Let's just talk about what we're shooting. So, Joe, why don't we start with you? What have you been shooting lately with your iPhone?
I shoot mainly, you know, I drive around all day long, and so my scenery's constantly changing. I'll see stupid stuff going on. I'm like, oh, I got to get a shot of that. So a lot of it is more candid. I did work in a neighborhood today out on the lake, and it was a beautiful day. And these homes are a bit more on the more grand, little bit more exotic because they are out on the lake, look more like a castle. So sometimes I'll take a shot depending on if the clouds are working with me. But most of my photography is, if I actually do, you know, look like a photographer, is corporate. What's the word I'm looking for?
Espionage.
Yeah, corporate espionage. it's where, you know, I do stuff for nonprofit, but also mostly voluntary. And man, it is just escaping my mind.
Commercial?
Not commercial, but you know, it's more candid shots of group settings. I apologize.
Photojournalistic?
Yeah, sort of. That's not the word I'm looking for. It'll hit me about midnight. Sure. I've got a couple things coming up. There's a camp that's coming up, and I'll be taking pictures of the camp, you know, while everybody's having fun. And one of the things they want me to do is produce a video for next year so that we can send it out and get people excited about it. And the other thing is next week I have with my work, we're doing a community project. And so last year I was the photographer for the community project. And so they came up to me beggingly going, can you do it again? And I was like, you're twisting my arm. Oh, okay, I'll do it. You know, so, nice. I'll actually, you know, use my, my Canon 30D for that. But most of the time I just drive around and I'll take different shots of scenery or just kind of some crazy stuff. One thing that comes to mind of the crazy stuff is that I was, you know, I drive down the road. So I notice a lot of things, and the, DOT had put up a speed monitoring trailer,
right,
that displays how fast you're going.
Yeah.
And underneath it, they said your speed limit 40 miles an hour. And almost directly next to it on the road, as posted on a light pole, was the 35 mile an hour zone sign.
Mm-hmm.
So I whipped a UE, you know, pulled into a parking lot, walked down to the street and tried to get it to where I can show both of them at the same time. Just kind of crazy, stupid stuff.
Nice.
And I do that with my iPhone. So, and you know, and then the rest of my photography is my kids, you know, and, and just, capturing their lives as they grow up. And my kids are going to have probably, if not the same, probably more photos than I have, you know, that my mom took of us and when I was growing up. And, you know, that way they can see themselves as they were growing. And, you know, I can sit there and go and tell them, yeah, that's what you were doing at this time and, you know, stuff like that. So that's one of the things that I want to do, is be able to have a billion photos of my children as they're growing up, so that their kids and their grandkids can see it too.
I think this year alone, I think this new generation that's being born, i.e. our kids, that's basically what's going to happen. There's going to be just a metric shit ton of photos. Because my wife is doing the same thing. I'm doing the same thing with my kids. And Matt, I'm imagining you're going to do the same thing with yours.
I'm going to sell my cameras so I can buy diapers. No, I'm kidding. I'll be photographing till I'm blue in the face.
Yeah.
I'm sure you're. What kind of camera does your wife have?
My wife?
Yeah. Does she also have an iPhone?
She has a 4S that she sometimes takes pictures with. She's not really, I don't know. She's not really that into photography, but every that now and change. Then she'll bust out an image that I'm pretty jealous of.
My wife does the same thing. And she'll send me as I'm at work. Like today, my son decided to stick one of my daughter's hair bands across his eyes. And, you know, my wife was watching Star Trek and she goes, it's our little Geordi, you know, stuff like that. Or my son was in his fireman boots. He was wearing his fire hat and he had a diaper holding his little toy gun. He says he's ready for action, you know, stuff like that. And she'll send that to me when I'm at work and I get a kick out of it. Plus, you know, it's good blackmail when they grow up.
Oh, amen to that. You know, it's funny you mention that because my wife, she busts out these amazing portraits of my kids, and anybody can see her.
Yeah.
See her
on
photos.
Instagram.
Yeah, she's. Whereas I'm lens wipe, she's lens wife. So, little plan. We thought it's funny. Anyway,
I thought it was pretty neat.
It's pretty clever.
I like it.
But her portraits are, like, just phenomenal. Like, I'm jealous of her portrait work. Like she could do these, like, crystal clear, really sharp images. And she makes those filters work for the photos. It's like, yeah, it just baffles me. She's really good at it. But, yeah, I guarantee you, Matt, your wife is going to – right now she's – she's not that big into photography, but that moment that child is born, that camera is going to be clicking away.
Oh, yeah, I believe it.
And then they'll become better than us. Damn it.
They already are.
Very cool.
What about you, Matt?
I don't know. Right now I'm kind of all over the place with my iPhone photography. The last week or so, I've kind of done a little bit of everything. Today I photographed HDR pano of like a pond out in western Vermont where I was driving around for work. And then 2 seconds later, I'm in a black and white app photographing a old cattle barn that like caved in on itself.
I saw that photo. That was incredible. Did you photograph it in color?
No, it was in black and white.
Nice.
And then, I don't know, I've been looking at a lot of Instagrams and stuff like that and just kind of trying to get inspired by what other people are doing. And, now that it's spring, there's a lot of flowers blooming and stuff like that. And I don't know, I guess I've just been kind of jealous of what people are doing. So last night I went outside and it was like sunset time. And I noticed this, I don't know if it's a tree or a bush or what it is, but some sort of 4 or 5 foot tall plant that's in my, hesitate to call it my backyard. It's not really a yard so much as it is a mess of woods and whatnot behind my house. But in any case, some sort of bush or tree with these white flowers on it. And, so I thought, well, I'm going to have a go at this and just see what kind of stuff I could, do. And I was purposely trying to get lens flare. So, I think I posted one picture yesterday on Instagram that was a not really a macro, but it was a close-up picture of these flowers, but it was kind of washed out because you could see the sun in the background.
Yeah.
Just throwing a little bit of lens flare in there. And I don't know, just a little bit of everything, I guess, right now. Just, I don't know, I'm trying not to get pinned down on any one thing, and I'm pretty psyched – sort of that it's raining here right now because we haven't had rain in forever. So I'm kind of hoping to see some waterfalls and some good cascades in the streams. And I actually got a really good idea for some stuff I want to do with the slow shutter cam app.
Oh, and, dude, I want to do that. I have a wedding up in your neck of the woods. I have a wedding that I'm doing this Saturday in Sunapee.
Oh, that's like literally 20 minutes from my house.
Cool.
Too bad I won't be around.
Oh, fate, you cruel mistress.
Yeah, I will be on an adventure at like the very, very, very super northern tip of New Hampshire. Oh, right up along the Canadian border.
What are you going to be doing?
Hopefully photographing moose and catching trout.
Hopefully. I've actually wanted to visit that part of New Hampshire. Like, yeah, for me, everything ends at the White Mountains, like around the border of Route 302, and never really venture any further up.
Yeah, it's a whole nother world up there. So, I don't know. Hopefully, I'll come home with some pictures that'll make everybody jealous.
I hope so. I can't wait to see it. And actually, you know what? That brings me... It's kind of impromptu, but over on our sister site, The Lens Wipe, you know, the podcast where we talk about casual photography talk, and we sometimes swear.
It lacks focus and direction.
Yes, we are the only photography podcast that lacks focus and direction on that side, which we're very, very proud of. And yeah, it's... Those are the jokes. If you find that funny, then you might like the podcast.
Yes.
If don't, stay away. But anyway, what we're doing, I might post, Joe, I might give this to you to post on the Tiny Shutter page. But for the longest time, we've been trying to do something with like we were planning on something called LensCon for the longest time. And that kind of fell through because, well, one, we're really not ready to do a LensCon, so to speak. But we are planning to do a day trip. And I happen to dub this our Lenscursion. Mind the meatloaf. Anyway, we're planning a day trip up in the White Mountains area. So if you are an iPhone photographer and would love to, if you're going to be in the New Hampshire area, are you living in the New Hampshire area, or you'd like to visit the New Hampshire area, we are going to set up a page for you to check out. Basically, we're just doing a day trip. We're going to start at 7 a.m. and we're going to photograph up until sundown, basically, which is more than likely 5 p.m. because New Hampshire closes at 5 p.m.
That is not true.
No, it's more like 6 p.m. The far north does. You got to admit that.
All right.
But we're planning a little trip, and it's going to be all photography, iPhone photography. It's going to be regular photography. We'll have more in the show notes, and so the photography I've been doing lately has just been a series of black and whites, but your stories have been so much more interesting, so let's skip mine until next week.
Till you can think of something better.
Yeah. I am still playing around with that app that you suggested last week. That black and white app is really, really cool. And I've just been playing. I've been between Perfect Black and White and M-Pro. And I can't decide which is a favorite. So I've been using both. And it's been a lot of fun. And right now I've only been taking pictures of my son, who's been doing a lot of goofy things lately.
Hey, I tell you what, I'm getting a kick out of watching him. He's got a great smile.
Yeah, he's just a barrel of laughs, and when he's not crying.
Yeah.
And but I haven't really gone out to photograph much. It's been a crazy busy week. But with my trip to Sunapee to do the wedding, I hope to change that. So anyway, moving on to our post pick of the week. Matt, you have one ready for us?
I do. Where did I put my phone? Here we go. Okay. So I say this every time it's my turn to do post pick of the week, but once again, ridiculously hard to pick.
Yeah.
There was a lot of there's just so much cool stuff in our feed right now. It's just insane. Right now, the Tiny Shutter feed is up to
8167.
Jesus.
Yes, 8167. For some reason, that little spot on my
Instagram's been going slow in the last 10, 15 minutes.
It's going slow lately.
It's because I'm on it.
Yep.
So anyway, my pick this week is from 2 days ago. It's from Doug Sparling. And this is a really interesting picture to me because it's kind of abstract in a way. It's a reflection. His caption is "Reflections in the Sound Barrier, View from Grand Boulevard Bridge in Kansas City, Missouri." And I'm actually having a difficult time telling like how he did this picture, if it's in a window or what the deal is, but basically you could see part of a cityscape. You could see some tall buildings. There's a street and part of a car is leaving the frame, and the reflection part of it is a chain link fence. So there's this faint chain link fence that kind of covers the image. And I mean, he probably just took the picture with the thought that the, the reflection looked cool, but this feels like a photo that you could really read a lot into. I don't know what Kansas City, Missouri's like. I've never spent any time there, but I'm not sure if it's a down economy there or whatever. But the fence over the buildings kind of makes it look like depressed and maybe repressed and stuff like that. And the image overall has like a blue tone to it. So it's really got kind of a sad, just kind of depressing feel to it, but it's still pretty awesome to look at.
Yeah, that is pretty cool. And Doug's has been, you know, his images are pretty awesome. Yeah, he does a lot of the architecture. And it's always, you know, it's interesting what he can come up with.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I'm guessing that a majority of his photos are from around, you know, Kansas City, Missouri, and he definitely is finding some really cool locations to photograph, you know, in and around where he's shooting. And they are a majority architecture, and you know, I guess in some ways I'm inspired by him, except I tend to be photographing buildings that are falling down, whereas his stuff's a little bit more modern than what I'm doing. But he's got a really nice mix of black and white work and color work, so definitely somebody that everybody should check out. That's Doug Sparling.
Yep. Very good.
I think Mark is gone.
Either that or he forgot to turn on his mic. should we go ahead and go into our focus points?
Yeah, we can do that. I have a pretty good one this week, I think. Pretty all sure. Right. Pretty positive.
I got a good one too. And let me say this too, is that you know, mine came from people who wrote in the comment section of the show notes. So you know, you can tell us about them, and yeah, one I will definitely mention who said it, but go ahead, Matt.
It's my turn?
Sure. Go for it. Okay.
All righty. So I mentioned a little bit ago about how I'm going up to like the top of New Hampshire this weekend on a I don't think I specifically said a camping trip, but I'm going camping and kayaking and fishing and photographing and the whole nine yards. And in a few weeks, I'll be headed to Maine for like 5 days on another similar type of adventure. And, you know, one of my concerns, not really so much this weekend, but definitely on the Maine trip, is being able to use my phone for GPS capabilities, like for mapping and, and also, you know, for taking pictures the whole time. So, you know, how do you go about, you know, keeping your phone charged while you're out in the wilderness, you're not near any kind of power sources. So there's a company out there called Goal Zero, and their main thing is like power packs and solar panels.
Nice.
And there's a little kit that they have there called the Guide 10 Plus. And basically what that is, it's a little power pack. It's a little bit bigger in dimensions than like a credit card in terms of like surface area, but it's, you know, it's about, I don't know, 5/8 of an inch thick or so.
Yeah.
And the power pack holds four AA batteries that are rechargeable batteries. And you can take the batteries out of the power pack and you could put those in like something that takes AA batteries.
Uh-huh.
I never do that. I just leave them in the power pack and just plug the power pack into my computer to charge it up. And then I can plug my iPhone in via just the regular USB cord, and it takes it like a little bit long to charge the phone, but it does work. I think it'll take it like a couple hours or so to fully charge the phone. But you can get a couple charges out of this thing, which is super cool. And then the other thing that's really cool, I'm not going to have this luck this weekend, but this pack comes with a solar panel. And you could use the solar panel to recharge the battery pack.
Wow.
So like when I'm on my trip in Maine during the day, when I'm out kayaking or fishing or whatever I'm doing, I'm just going to set the solar panel out in the sun with the battery pack plugged into it. So I recharge the battery pack. So every evening I'll be able to recharge my phone from the battery.
Nice.
Yeah. So I won't have to miss, you know, taking any pictures or anything like that, because I'll always have a good charge on my phone for 5 days. So definitely
I'm looking. What's I'm that? Looking at the site, and how much did you pay for it?
I can't tell you that.
Okay.
definitely wasn't the retail price, but nice. It's worth the retail price. It's a solid product. It really is.
It, on the goalzero.com it says $40. So,
Well, the whole kit is $120.
Oh, this is only the power pack.
Correct.
And the whole thing is $120, but Matt can't tell you he spent that much money.
Yeah.
I definitely didn't spend $120. In any case, though, the power pack is cool. Like if you're not going to be out for days on end, if you're just going somewhere for a weekend, but for some reason you don't have, you know, you can't plug your phone in your car or something like that to charge it up over a weekend, you know, then the power pack by itself would be sufficient. You know, you just charge the power pack at home before you leave on your trip, and that would definitely get you through a few days.
Okay. Which solar panel did you get?
It's the smaller one.
Nomad 7?
Yes, that's the one that comes with the Guide 10 adventure kit, they call it.
These are the solar panels that charge the Polish flashlights. I'm allowed to say that. I'm Polish.
You're such a dork.
That's like the Very only time cool. I can use that joke. But that sounds awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty darn cool.
I bet my brother would like that. He'd get a lot of use out of that.
Yeah, I'm like, I thought it was like $40. I'm like, score, that's what I'm getting. Then you said 100. I might have to wait a little bit.
Well, for anyone that's, you know, spending like tons of time outdoors, it's more than worth it.
Yeah, I drive around all day, and I've got an inverter in my work truck and a laptop, and you know, I get all my tickets over the internet, so I keep my phones plugged into the laptop. So I have no need for one right now.
Yeah, I hear that.
Nice.
There you go. That is my focus point.
Joe, did you already go or?
Nope, not yet.
Okay. Go for it.
I had we had a couple people chime in about last week's episode.
Oh yeah,
about Hipstamatic, and Robert Lancaster had posted in the show notes about an app called Hipstamatch that is able to, I guess, save samples of shots, and you can either find the samples or, you know, create samples and be able to get sort of what you're looking for and keep tabs. So I thought I'd mention that. And then somebody else did too, but I will come back to that later.
There was one other person that sent me a message, and I forget what it was, but the app that they suggested was $1.99, and I'm not going to say the name because it's not worth dragging them through the mud. But is essentially, I think it was the same thing. It was like, look through your Hipstamatic photos that you've already taken, and it'll like track what you were using. And to me, that doesn't sound anything that's not useful, because the Hipstamatic app already does that. And I just want, here's the thing. And the app would required me to log into my Instagram account for some reason. Like, it just kept hassling me to log in. So I did.
So you okay.
So I did, and all it was doing is thinking about my Instagram account. It just kept, you know, that little circle thinking mabob kept going and going, and finally I just got sick of it. And I'm like, no, this isn't good.
Okay.
And here's what it comes down to. I just want Hipstamatic to show me what each filter does, basically. Whether it's the lens filter or the film filter, I just want to know what it does and show me a clear image of what it does. And if they can't do that, then, oh well, too bad.
So prior to you taking the shot, you want to see what it looks like.
Yeah, I want to see what it's doing. I mean, that can't be too hard for them to show you, like, here's what it's going to be doing.
I never got into the Hipstamatic thing for pretty much that reason. And I just the fact that it wouldn't save it wouldn't allow me to do the images that I want. And I'm, like I said, I'm OCD when it comes to my images.
Yeah. And not only that, but Hipstamatic has been crashing on me left and right. Like, I totally reinstalled it from scratch. And
oh, you did?
Yeah. And every time I'm trying to save something, it just crashes the app. And it's like, you know what? If they can't, you know, hire one of their engineers back or something, because this is BS. I have a ton of apps that I can do without using Hipstamatic, and they work 10 times faster. I have, thanks to Matt, we have a whole shit ton of apps that we can use that are awesome. We have Camera Plus, Camera Awesome, whichever one you want to use. We have PureView. That's really, really awesome. I mean, who cares? Oh, it could do it in a square format. Too bad. We just use Snapseed and make it square. And if I really want to do some, you know, old nostalgic stuff, we have PicTap Go. So, you know what? Too bad, Hipstamatic. You had your chance. Bye.
So, Robert did mention a...
I'm sorry for that ridicule.
Yeah, no, you gave me a good show title. Hipstabash. Robert did also mention an app that I thought was pretty neat. I downloaded it. It was $1.99. It's called Handy Photo.
Mm-hmm.
And it actually does some things quite well. It allows you to be able to straighten out a scene. And, you know, usually when you're in Snapseed, when you straighten something out, it crops it.
Mm-hmm.
This does that creative so what is that Photoshop thing, like that, not cloning, but where it tries to think of what it should be and tries to create it if it's not there.
Content aware.
Yes, it's almost a content aware with this app. And it's not, you know, it's not going to, you know, be totally amazing, because I did crop my daughter out of a photo and she was standing in front of my son. And so it didn't quite, you know, fill it in correctly, because it doesn't know really what it's supposed to be. But for little tiny minute things, it can add a little bit of content aware, to what it thinks it could be. And it, either it's a hit or a miss on whether it gets it right. But the cropping, you can crop somebody and actually move them in the frame, and it'll fill in content aware. And if it's a pretty even pattern, it'll fill it in pretty well.
Yeah.
And it's got a few more things I've yet to delve into. But even the little bit that it did, I'm pretty impressed with it. So I think this could be a handy app if for creatives. Say you take a photo of somebody standing in front of a white wall, you can crop them and then move them into another photo.
Hmm.
Yes. And totally get creative with it, and allows you to, to save it, go to another photo, be able to put it in. And so if you had, say, a couple family photos on your iPhone and somebody forgot to jump in, but the one they did jump in was a totally awful photo, you can crop them out and stick them in the other.
Nice.
Yeah. So I thought it was pretty good. That was a good lead, Robert. And handy photo, and it's $1.99, and I'll have it in the show notes.
I'll have to check that out.
Yeah, very cool.
It was worth it. I downloaded it.
Cool. Well, I wish I had a pick for you this week. Unfortunately, I haven't received it yet. Yeah, I'm really, really looking forward to this one. Just to give you an idea, I'm going to be reviewing the Bodolin. I think I'm pronouncing this wrong. The Bodolin ProScope Micro Mobile. And what this is it's a, I want to say microscope that you can attach to your iPhone. It basically, it's a super macro lens, what it comes down to. And
oh, is that the one you showed us pre-show last week?
Yes.
Got it.
And the unique thing about this one is that this is the only super macro lens for your iPhone that comes with its own like ring light. It's an LED ring light that goes around the lens so that you can get a nice clear image of whatever you're photographing in super macro, whether it's skin cells, I guess. but anyway, these guys are kind enough to send us a review copy, and I can't wait to give it a try.
Awesome.
That does sound pretty cool.
Yeah. So for those of you who are curious, I mean, go to – just do a web search for Bodolin ProScope Micro Mobile and
you'll be able to check it out. Wow, that was really easy to find.
Yeah?
No.
You know what? Let them wait till next week. How about that? Okay. For God's sakes, I said it's coming. their website is bodelin.com, bodelin.com.
That was okay. That was a little bit better.
Baby.
I found it right away.
Right.
Without even typing in Bodolin.
It's they have something for the iPad mini, for the iPad, and for the iPhone. And it's a pretty it's expensive. It's $149 for this case/ lens. But I mean, again, it's because the LED light around it, it's such a fine super macro lens that they're using. I'll review it, give it a go, and report. But I mean, if the Olo clip is $70, so.
Have you thought about what you're going to photograph with it?
I have no idea yet. I would love to go outside and photograph some insects.
Baby snot.
No.
No. I vote no.
No on baby snot. You know why? Because I had a bad experience with baby snot.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
Yeah, just to give you guys, for those people who are new and haven't heard the story, I've only said it on the lens wipe anyway. So one time I'm trying to clean my Canon 5D sensor, and I am looking everywhere for my little air squeezer thingamabob and can't find it anywhere. But what I did find was... My first daughter there, her booger sucker. And yeah, it was a bad idea, but I did a few test squeezes and we hadn't used it in quite some time. I'm like, all right, so this is clean. She probably cleaned it out. You know, I've done like 20 squeezes on this thing and nothing came out. That's bad. You know, that's fine. And I'm only going to do like a really quick thing. I just need to just blow a very gentle wisp of air in there. And I did. And then, you know, everything seemed fine. I did a few test shots and, you know, no problem. Until the next day, as I'm photographing the wedding. And I, you know, looked at my shots to see what, you know, everything was good. And when I photograph something in the sky, you know, just because I you know, do series of test shots, I notice this weird configuration in the sky. And I had no idea what the hell it was. And I opened up my my lens to see what it is, and sure enough, there's a booger right on my sensor.
Did you send it off to get fixed? Or did you?
I had to finish shooting the wedding first.
Oh.
As long as I didn't go over f-stop of f-stop of F-11. 5. Okay. Oh, F-11, it's definitely visible. But I was like just under 5, whatever it is. Like I think under 8 was the real kicker. Fortunately, it was on my fast lens, so I didn't have to worry about it being too much of a factor. So I survived the wedding. But then I bring it back to I bring it to Calumet over here in Cambridge, and I'm like, yeah, I need this cleaned, like, really well. And
bros,
and those guys are awesome. I love those guys. I will always buy from Calumet. They're just the bee's knees. And I'm telling him, the guy at the counter, he's writing me up. I'm like, yeah, and I told him the story. He's like, I'm just going to put debris here because if I tell him what it actually is, he's going to actually refuse to clean it. that was great. So that is the story of the infamous baby booger on my camera sensor. And what better segue than to from baby boogers to contests?
There you go.
We still have some PicTapGo product code giveaways. So if you would like a free version of PicTapGo, all you need to do is send us a message either through our Facebook page, facebook.com/tinyshutter, or through our Twitter account. We are at tinyshutter. And just send us a message saying, hey, I would like PicTapGo. And if we have any product codes left, we will give you one. So how about that for a contest?
Sounds great.
Boom.
Jeez, even I could win that one.
Give you one. Anyway, so that's all. We still have a bunch of product codes left. So if you want one, come get it. First come, first served. That's it.
Woohoo.
I'm tired of making rules for contests.
We'll get 15 emails tonight.
Yeah, hopefully. I got to edit the podcast first. So anyway, I think that's it. That's a show. Matt, tell the world where they can find you on the web.
Check me out on Instagram and Twitter at @mhoffmanphoto.
Very cool. How about you, Joe?
You can find me on Instagram at Joseph Rare.
Cool. And you could find me, Mark Sadowski, on Twitter. I am at @mostlymarcus. And that's it for the show. Tune in next week where maybe my voice will be 100%, but I doubt it. And I'll tell you more stories of my
baby snot
gear. So there you go. I think that's a good way to close the show. Here you go. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this podcast, head over to iTunes and leave us a review and a 5-star rating. See you next week.